Welcome to the Movement Church in Orange County, California. We believe that today's message will inspire you, challenge you, and raise your faith that God is up to something big in your life. Let's jump into today's message.
We're going to conclude this series today, which is called Thirsty. Everyone say thirsty. This is based on the scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 that said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled or satisfied." And you get this because all of humanity is searching for fulfillment. All of us are searching to live the life we were created to live. But what God is saying in the scripture here is that there is a way to flourishing, a way to fulfillment, and it's through what I have for you and not through what everything and everyone else has for you. And we're driven by our spirit. We've talked about this. You know this by now. We're driven by our spirit. Our spirit is our heart or the will, the place where we make choices. It's the desire that we have, and this is being formed by our choices and our experiences. So when we say yes to Jesus, He's made us a new creation, but we still have a life to live, and our life is based upon our experiences and choices of our past. So now we're in a process called sanctification. Everyone say sanctification. Or transformation. Everyone say transformation. Or renovation. Everyone say renovation. And that's where I'm saying, okay, God, I am going to allow you to begin to shape what I choose to do with my life. But I'm not only spirit, I'm also a mind. I have thoughts and feelings. You don't get to control every thought you have, but you get to control what thoughts you meditate or ruminate or steep on, and you get to choose what thoughts you allow to impact you. And every thought you have has a feeling attached to it. That's non-negotiable. It's either a feeling attracted to the thought or repelled by it. And we don't always get to choose what feelings we have, but we can steer our feelings. And feelings are great, they're great consultants, they're horrible CEOs. And then we have a soul, and Megan did a phenomenal job. Can we give it up for Pastor Megan? I'm just so grateful for you, and I watched your message yesterday, and I just was inspired, first of all, by her beauty, second of all, by her smile, man, her daggone that smile, it just gets me every time. But the word was so powerful about the operating software of our soul that we've got to do a reboot. And we spent some time at the end of last service just focusing on worship because worship is a reboot. And the point you made about how we really need to reboot our devices every week, what a great correlation that God established a Sabbath that happens once a week where we gather together as a church to reboot. Can I get an amen? And then we talked about the body a few weeks ago and how the body has desires and cravings and things that we want, things for pleasure, things for hunger, for thirst. And we talked about the social context. You need a social context. You can't survive without it. You need to be known and you need to fully know others. You need to be fully known. You need to love and be loved. And this matters because this is shaping and forming your spirit. And we have it built in a pyramid because this is the way that God intends it for our flourishing. That we put God as the foundation and His Spirit is now shaping and forming our spirit. And every thought we surrender and hold it captive according to the knowledge of God, and every feeling we have, we weigh it upon the nature of God as is in the scripture. And that leads to a healthy soul because your soul is either heading towards health or a lack thereof. And then I'm allowing my body to be surrendered, my cravings, my desires to be surrendered to my spirit. And you get this. Jesus said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is." Sometimes you do what you don't want to do. Sometimes you lose your temper, right? You ever spoken a word, you were like, "Oh, crap, get it back. No," and you couldn't. Are y'all with me? You spoke faster than you thought, right? Are y'all with me? And your social context shapes all this, so we want to be founded first upon the truth of God's word. So let's talk about the transformed life. Shake your neighbor and say, "You did great." We're moving, we're stepping towards being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you will be Christ. It just means you're allowing the six dimensions of your life to be renovated, transformed into the plans and the purpose that God has for you. So let's talk about what will surface when we are transformed. The six-dimensional transformation, what God is doing. So how I'll know that my thoughts and my spirit and my feelings and my soul are being transformed. And as I talk through these real briefly, I want you to identify what one you need to work on this week. Listen, we got a lot of work to do. And if you're like me, you're like, I need to fix everything. Well, that's too much. But what one needs the most help this week? Because here's what the scripture says is, that we want to be transformed. So how do I know if it is being transformed? So let's talk about our thoughts. How do we know if our thoughts are being transformed? Well, just candidly, it means that I think about the Lord. It means I think about the Lord. Like He is fused into every thought that I have. Look at me for a moment. Every decision I make, I think about the Lord. Another way, I love how Dallas Willard says it, to be God intoxicated. To be God intoxicated. Show of hands, how many of you have ever been intoxicated? No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. To be God, some of y'all are right now. No, moving on. When you're intoxicated, it affects your nervous system. It affects how you're feeling. When you're intoxicated, it shifts your judgment. You ever heard the term liquid courage? I haven't. I've heard about it, but I'm just talking for a friend. When you're intoxicated, you do things you would normally not have the courage. There's entire Instagram pages that are attributed to people who are intoxicated, jumping off of roofs and doing dumb things that they would never have the courage to do. But when I'm God intoxicated, it shifts my judgment. It changes what I'm willing to choose to do. Listen, it changes the way that I think about scenarios that I'm facing because I'm intoxicated with who God is. It shifts my reaction time. When you're intoxicated, it shifts your reaction time. That's why they say don't drink and drive, because you can't react fast enough. But when I'm God intoxicated, I'm giving Him permission to slow down how fast I'm speaking. Wow. How fast I react to when you cut me off in traffic. I use that a lot in illustrations. I'm trying to surrender that to the Lord. Y'all pray for your pastor. It alters your mood and your behavior. Just, it means that I'm thinking about the Lord. There's an old song of the church, like from the 90s. Sometimes I just miss me some 90s. I love 90s hip hop. I love 90s grunge rock. I love me some 90s worship. There's a song that goes, let me see if I can sing this. When I think about the Lord and how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He fits something to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord and how He picked me up, turned me around, and He set my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Are you with me? When I think about the Lord, yeah. How He changed my life. Yeah. He healed my broken heart. That's what a transformed thought life is. That I think about the Lord. My daughter is so embarrassed that I sang that song. Let's talk about our feelings. It means that my life is characterized by loving God, loving people, and listen, loving life. Yeah. Loving life. It's really easy for us to love God. It's challenging sometimes for us to love people, and depending on the season you're in, it's challenging to love life. But it means that I am steering my feelings, and they are not steering my life. So good. And the way this is possible is that I have, my feelings are fixated on gratitude.
Yeah, that's great.
Because sure, you can make a list of all the things you can't stand and you're frustrated with, but maybe just start with thinking of the things that you're grateful for, like a pastor with a beautiful voice, the voice of an angel. Yeah. Like Jesus and Fergie had a baby. I've been called the songbird of my generation. So, just be grateful. Like just to be grateful for what God is thinking about that song, gratitude, right? The song gratitude is, man, I've got breath in my lungs. I've got blood in my body. I'm a child of God. Come on and sing it, somebody. No, stop doing that. That's a different song. I don't need your correction. Whether it's your best day, your worst day, your Tuesday, your birthday, today is your best day. Let me tell you why. Anyways, moving on. Oh, I'm just grateful. Grateful that I live in an amazing country. It's a little jacked up, but I'm free. I'm grateful I have a church community where people actually care about me. I'm grateful that I have a job, and if I don't have a job, I'm grateful that I have a house, and if I don't have a house, I'm grateful I have a car to sleep in. If I don't have a car to sleep in, I'm grateful that the weather's beautiful in California. Can I get an amen? Like, it's a rough place to be homeless when you live in Phoenix in the summer. Can I get an amen? Can I just tell you, if you're a younger millennial, I'm an elder millennial, okay? I'm like on that bridge between Gen X and millennial, which means that I know how to work my rear end off, but I'm also a little bit entitled, okay? So if you're a younger millennial or Gen Z, can I tell you, look at me for a moment. I believe the greatest sign of spiritual maturity is not being ruled by your feelings. Of all these things, when I was younger, when you got old, you just got fat. But now, no, they're ripped at 60. Why? Because social media, we got vain. Are y'all with me? Who your friends are matters. You know that. But right here, if you're Gen Z, if you're a younger millennial and you can steer your feelings, that's the greatest indication of a life ruled by the Spirit of God. Maybe for you older people too, but I just want to talk to Gen Z for a moment. Let's talk about the Spirit. How I know that it's being transformed is that I'm devoted to doing what's right. I'm just devoted. And here, let me say it a different way. That I'm placing the needs of others above my own desires. That's how I know that my spirit is being transformed. Listen, it's being formed every day by your choices and your experiences, but let's just let it choose to let God form our spirit. Are you with me?
Yeah, that's great.
My body. I don't know, my body is being transformed. Is that my spirit is strong and my body is too. That I'm able to start saying no to some temptations that I used to say yes to. It means that it's impacting the words that I speak, my facial expressions, my body language, that I'm starting to curb my desires and my appetites. Instead, I'm avoiding the path of temptation. Like, the greatest way to say no to sin is to not put yourself in an environment where you're forced to say no. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Today, this morning, one of my dogs, her name is Winnie, as in Winnie Cooper. And anyone?
Yeah.
Three of you. Okay, all right. We can be friends. Welcome to the Gen X Older Millennial Club. And she was playing with a toy, like a little tennis ball, her and my other dog, and then she looked up, and on top of the coffee table was another one of her toys that she's starting to shred, and if she eats it, it's going to cause digestive problems. Any dog owners, you know what I'm talking about? And we put it up there so she didn't get to it, and all she could do would be fixated on what she couldn't have. She put her paws up on the couch, tail was wagging. She stared at that ball like it was a squirrel. Meanwhile, there's 72 toys right here. These are all, it's like the Garden of Eden. These are all for you, but you can't have that one. She went from feet on the ground, paws on the couch, and she like slowly got this paw up and did start doing like the tiger crowd, like... And then we're just being quiet watching her. And then she like lays her head down by Megan, but is looking intently at the ball. And then like snuggles up and got a little higher on the couch. Y'all track with me? Until literally after about 37 seconds, got on the coffee table and took that toy because she just wanted so badly what she couldn't have. And when we have a body that's being transformed by the Spirit and the nature of God, I'm just slowly saying no to those desires that I've always said yes to. Are you with me? I'm going to come back to this in a moment. Let's think about our social context. That I'm walking in authentic transparency, that I'm fully known and I know fully. And that means that there's someone in my life who's a follower of Jesus that knows my dreams, knows my secrets, and knows my shortcomings. Authentic transparency. Usually we give people about 80%, if we're really transparent, about 90%, we keep that 10% hidden because we don't really want them to know. It means that I'm walking in the light together. In fact, that's what Paul said. He said, you were formerly in darkness, but now you are the light in the world. So walk as children of the light, which means that if I'm going to be transformed, that my social context has to be also transformed by the spirit and the nature of God. Are you with me? When Paul said, you used to be in darkness, but now you're children of the light, it sounds kind of like the Shining or Children of the Corn, doesn't it? A little creepy. Children of the light, sure come to our church. It's creepy. But that's not what he means. The Bible's always contrasting good versus evil. Yeah. And you get that. Yeah. George Lucas got that. Yeah. All throughout Star Wars, Luke, when he was battling between choosing the dark side of the Force, literally George Lucas would set the camera where half of Luke's face was in a shadow and the other half was in the light. What was he communicating? The internal struggle that Luke was having between going with the dark side or going with the Force. So that's what Paul's saying. If we're transformed, we're walking in the light and not in the darkness. But if we're trying to walk in the light and our social context is in the darkness, we are in trouble. The greatest way to determine whether you have a healthy social context in your life is whether or not they champion the good in your life. What do they champion about you? Do they look at me for a moment? I don't care if you're 12, 72, 65, 48. You need people in your life that love you and care about you, but are they championing your purpose?
Yeah, that's great.
Are they going, Juan, man, I love your business. I love that you coach, but man, what's God doing in your life? Are you sharing your story? Your story is powerful. Your people need your story. Or does your social context only champion what is seemingly evil? Or maybe it's in the middle, but the problem is there is no middle. There's no middle ground. In Revelation, Jesus spoke to the church at Laodicea, and he says, man, I love that you love God, and I love that you've built the church, but there's one thing I have against you. He said, you are neither hot nor cold. You're neither dark nor light. You're neither good nor evil. You're in the stinking middle. You're lukewarm. And then Jesus said these most comforting words, I want to vomit you out of my mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Stoked to go to church today. Why does he say that? Because he knows that if we shift into neutral, neutral always steers towards the darkness.
Wow, that's great.
So what does your social context do? Are they championing the purpose of God in your life? Are they championing the good things? Are they pulling you towards the future that God has, or towards the past that you're trying to get away from? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Let me just tell you this too. Our role in our social context, we are not called to be a condemning agent. Our job in our social context is not to show up and go, well, I'm going to be light and darkness and condemn all these dark fools. That's not your job. Your job is not to condemn sin, but your job is also not to condone it. It's a delicate balance. But you can do that because you can have a conversation and just say, hey, I think there's something better for you. Come with me and you'll see a world of pure imagination. That was so good. Snuck it in there on you. But there's truth behind it, isn't it? Like there's something beautiful about when you find somebody who's trapped and maybe in some darkness that you were once trapped to or you were have a proclivity towards, and you say, hey, I know you can run hard at this, but just come with me and check something out for a moment. I think you might like what you find. And you know what? They will, and I'll tell you why. Because inside of them, their soul longs for their creator. So we are not called to condemn sin, but we are definitely not called to condone it. What does a soul that's being transformed look like? That the operating software is at home with God. Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you. The word abide in the Greek, original Greek, means to take up residence. You know what the greatest indication of a soul that's being transformed is the peace of God.
Yeah.
The peace of God. And the Holy Spirit said a peace that passes all understanding, which means he knew that we would need peace in moments where it didn't seem possible.
That's right.
That's why we sing the song. Fear is not my future, you are. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. That's what it means to have a soul that is being transformed. And Paul said, hey, you were formerly in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. So when Paul said this, walk as children of the light, what does he mean by that? I want to talk to you about four indicators real quickly. This is going to be quick. Four indicators that I'm walking in the light. Number one, I'm committed to 6D transformation.
That's great.
All dimensions. I'm committed to saying, God, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be focusing in on transforming my spirit, transforming my thoughts, my feelings, my soul, my body, my social context into the likeness of you and what you have for me. Why? Because God is not concerned with you changing your behavior first. He's concerned with you changing your heart. He talked to Samuel when Samuel's trying to find the next king, and he said, go in this room and I'll show you who it is. And Samuel goes, oh, this must be the guy. He's 6'5", he's beautiful, he's strong, he must be the king. And God said, bro, I'm not looking at the outward appearance as man does, but I am looking at the heart. So this is not about behavioral modification. This is about saying I'm committed to an internal change that will inevitably impact the external. Because when I walk in darkness, it's because there's darkness on the inside. So when you find one of these struggling, you know, hey, this isn't just about the choice that I made. It's about the motivating factor that led me to that choice. And you can't bypass one of these and expect that you're going to have a transformation in your life. You can't say, you know what, I'm just going to numb out and do whatever my body craves, but the rest of this, God, I give it to you. Or you know what, I'm going to make sure this is committed to God, but you know, my friends, I'm still going to hang out with the people who are pulling me towards my past instead of pulling me towards my future. You can't have one without you. You got to say, I'm totally committed. Now listen, we're not striving for perfection here. This is a lifelong process where we're trusting God. We're leaning into the grace of God and the strength of the Holy Spirit to be transformed on a daily basis. And every once in a while, you're going to screw up. It's okay. We're taking a step towards godly transformation. Every dimension needs transformation. Every dimension needs sanctification. I just think about during COVID, shortly after, in this very room, they brought in these little air purifiers, and they're 1 foot by 1 foot by 2 foot. Like, that's going to purify the air and save us all from the fake disease. I mean, from COVID, I'm sorry. Oh, we got some vaxxers and non-vaxxers in here. Let's go. We're going to have a fight outside. No, I'm kidding. Just so silly to think about the logic of this little bitty air purifier. Everybody's safe now. And what we do is, well, I'll show up to church and I'll raise my hands in the slow songs and clap in the fast songs and I'll say amen because they keep telling me to do that. And I'm on the right track. Well, that's a good thing, but where's your soul at? Where's your feelings and your thoughts at? What are the choices you're making when nobody else is around? Are you with me? I'm not here to condemn, I'm here to challenge you. So it's a six-dimensional transformation. Number two, I'm governed by the pool of good versus the pool to evil. Transformation, spiritual maturity, growth are indicated and they're visible by what's governing my life, what's governing my choices. And I have here just this rope and Joe, come here, dude. And TJ, come here. You come on this side, TJ, and Joe, come right here. Just grab that rope. TJ, you're going to be evil.
Oh, sick, dude.
take one step forward. Just chill right there. Take one step forward. So what's pulling you right now? And what's impacting you more? Is it being pulled towards evil, or is it being pulled towards what is good? And the difference of that is determined by which one you feed. Anybody love donuts? How many of you could eat like this bag right now? Raise your hand. So when can we be a transparent church? When I'm driving down the street and I see a woman who's not my wife jogging by, and she's wearing clothes that are more revealing, for me to see her is not a sin. For me to think she's attractive is not a sin. Are y'all with me, church?
Yeah.
We're getting real quiet now. But what I do with that thought, well, catch the donut. Pick that donut up. I thought,
I'll
for
sure. Off the ground right now.
I mean, you just pretend to eat it. It's fine. What I do, I just can't believe you didn't catch it. That was mind-blowing. Okay. Hint to, I'm probably going to throw one to you. No, just catch it. We're not trying to toss it into your mouth. What I do with that thought feeds it.
Yeah.
Nick, come up here and get behind TJ. Hurry, hustle, faster. Wait, you don't need to throw your phone. Grab that rope, Nick. Grab that rope. And so just pull, but fake pull. Don't really pull. So now I'm being pulled. And then when I get home and I'm frustrated, it's been a long day and I'm cruising through the internet, catch this. What? Here. Just use your hands, guys. I feel like we need to talk fundamentals. Holy smokes. All right. My point is, hang with me. Obviously, we didn't plan this one. So now, here, don't really pull, pretend pull. So now, I'm at home and I'm looking on the internet and now I'm just kind of a little frustrated and I'm bored. And I saw the woman, you're not a woman, I saw the woman jog by and I didn't control my thoughts. And then when I got home, I'm now, nobody's here. Catch this. Just hold it. Okay, go sit down, Nick. You're fired. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're being pulled and you're being governed. Here, take a step back this way. You're being governed by what you're feeding. But if I see the woman jog by and she's attractive, and I just go, God, I just thank you for my wife. I thank you that she still loves to be intimate with me. Nick, come over here on this side. Hustle. Stop throwing your phone down. Leave your phone. Now the pool's stronger on this side. And then I get home and I'm bored and I'm on the internet and I'm like, I don't need that in my life. Why? Because you're not my wife. He's about to choke. He's got a powdered donut. Can you say chubby bunny? That's the, you ever played that game? I got a feeling what I'm saying. When trust is violated and somebody breaks a vow, whether it was unwritten or written, they're always doing that kind of stuff. Every guy, don't eat it. Every guy I've ever been with has done that same thing. Nick, go over there. Kinsey, get up here. I'm so tired of being let down. Are you feeling what I'm saying? And now what, in my darkest moment, what's going to pull me? Towards darkness or towards light? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Y'all gonna have a seat. Y'all give them a hand clap. We're gonna do some catching lessons later. Let me get the keys up here for a moment. When life is out of control for you, and your normal response is to numb it, maybe it's with a substance. Maybe it's with alcohol or pills or Netflix. Don't act like that's not real. Or scrolling or retail therapy. Man, I love me some good retail therapy. What you feed governs in which direction you're being pulled. When I feel out of control, am I going to numb it or am I going to address it? To address it means, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to go with this. It feels like it feels. It feels like this is, it's everything is about to fall apart. But God, I know that you care greatly. I know that you are in control of my life. What am I doing? I'm feeding my spirit man with the nature of God. I know, God, internally, it's all about to fall apart. But your word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am so frustrated with the way that I'm being treated here and there in whatever relationship, but I know that I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in dark places. So instead of taking my anger out on the people that are treating me poorly, I'm going to surrender them to your spirit, God. And like your scripture says, I'm going to love those who persecute me and pray for those who despitefully use me because they are your children, God. I'm feeding my spirit, man. So what is governing the way that you are being pulled? I'm just saying that is an indication that I am a child walking in the light. Are you with me? Third indicator that I'm walking in the light is that my life is full of joy. Joy. The scripture says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When do you need strength? When you feel weak. You need strength when you feel like giving up. You need strength when you don't know what to do. You need strength when you're overwhelmed. You need strength when you're discouraged. You need strength when you're stressing. And joy is not circumstantial. Happiness is. If you come to meet the movement and you get a double-double, that will be happiness. And it will be fleeting because then it's going to hit you at about 4 p.m. Can I get an amen? But joy is this idea, this notion that God knows the plans that he has for me. Plans to prosper me and to give me a hope in the future. Are you with me? Yeah. My life is full of joy. When joy isn't present, my thoughts, my feelings, and my soul have been poisoned by the darkness. It's not condemnation on you. It's an indicator. Oh, I got to return to a spirit of joy. And you know what? Hey, there are times when you don't know how to do that. David was in the same place. One of the greatest characters all through the Bible. In fact, the only one that says is a man after God's own heart. And he was just like, man, God, would you return to me the joy of my salvation? Yeah. He said, I don't know if I can, but I know you can. Right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And the last indicator that I'm walking in light is that I am the light.
Right.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the light. Turn to your second choice, say, you are the light of the world. God did not call us to be light and brightness.
Right.
Look at me in the eyes for a moment, putting on the pastor hat.
Yep.
He did not call you to circle the wagons and create your comfortable little world of Christians. Oh, yes. I love that In-N-Out has John 3:16 on the bottom of the cups. When I drink it, people get saved through osmosis. Oh, it feels so good to me. And I love that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. We're telling the world, hey, yeah, you are darkness, but not Chick-fil-A. Whoop, whoop, whoop. That's exactly what you sound like. I'm kidding. You're called to be light in darkness. Look at me in the eyes. We are called, number one, as the church, to glorify God. Number two is to disciple people who are followers of Jesus. That's why we do groups. But you cannot just do those two. Or look at me, you're not being obedient to the commission that Jesus has given us. The last words he spoke on this world was, go and preach the gospel. And some of y'all don't know how to preach the gospel, and that's okay. There's a reason I pray the same prayer every Sunday, because God's going to give you an opportunity to lead someone to Jesus, and you're going to remember, oh yeah, Pastor Kerry always says, God, I know that you're real and that you love me, that you'd give me a purpose. And I'm not perfect. God, would you forgive me? And just make the statement your own. Jesus, you know the prayer. But you know what the part of the gospel is? It's your story. Yeah. Like my friend Juan, his story is beautiful. It's ugly too. But it's beautiful because God saved him and filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he set his feet on solid ground. When you get around Juan, you hear of the goodness of God. He brings more people to church than anybody I know because he cares about people experiencing the fullness of what God has for them. Do you? Easter's coming. You're going to get a little invitation, a little piece of paper. It's so insignificant. And yet it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And you can reach people that I can never reach because they go to work with you. And because they're in the same school as your kids are, and because they make you coffee on Tuesdays when you go get your coffee, and you're just going to go, hey, come with me to church. And somebody that you invite will show up in the room, and at the end of the service when we pray a prayer, they're going to pray their prayer, that prayer. And at the end, they're going to lift their hands. Nobody's watching, but God is watching. And they're going to leave here the same way that they came here, but just a little bit different. And they begin this process of allowing God to transform them. If you're children of the light, be the light in darkness. The scripture says you are salt of the earth. That means you bring the flavor. Turn to your neighbor and say, you bring the flavor. Flavor, flavor. Are y'all with me? I'm proud of you. Let's walk transformed. Not perfect. Let's walk transformed. Amen? Hey, everybody, look at me for a moment. Some of you in this room, today's your day to begin the journey with Jesus. There's a starting point. It's not church membership. It's not your heritage. It's just saying yes to him. And if you're here and you've never begun that journey in a moment, a holy moment, right where you're seated, nobody will have to know. You can begin that journey today. And some of you in this room, you have begun a journey like that, but over the course of the last few months, maybe a few years, you've allowed a slow drift to take place in the dimensions of your body, and your mind, your feelings, your soul, your spirit, your social, whatever it is. And today's the day to come running back to say, God, I'm starting brand new with you for the first time in a long time. So I want to take a moment and just pray. Would you do me a favor? Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody moving, nobody looking around. If you're here and that's you and you need to make this decision for the first time in a long time, then just make this prayer your own. And if this is you and I'm starting the journey today. It's the first time I've made this decision. Then make this prayer your own in the quietness of your own heart or a small whisper. Just say, dear God, I know that you love me, that you've given me purpose, but I'm not perfect, God. Would you forgive me? And now with all the faith that you can muster, just make this statement your own. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody moving. Nobody looking around. If you're here and you prayed that prayer with me for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you let me in on the journey? You're just saying, Pastor Kerry, I'm starting that journey today. In a moment, when I count to three, would you put your hand up and put it right back down? You're saying, yeah, I prayed that prayer. I'm starting fresh today. If that's you, on the count of three, lift your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Three, put your hands up right now. Wow, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Awesome, thank you. Wow, wow, wow. Anyone else? God, we just thank you that you're doing something. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you for moving miraculously. Thank you for starting something fresh today in our hearts and our minds. God, we commit our lives to being transformed in every dimension of who we are. God, we're committed to being pulled towards good and not evil, towards light and not darkness. Father, we're committed to being full of joy in every circumstances and in all situations. And God, we're committed to being the light in darkness. So we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give a hand clap for the men and women who prayed that prayer.
What a message. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, connect with us by texting Jesus to 949-267-3242. And if you're local to Orange County, be sure to check us out on Sundays. You can get all the information at theocmovement.com.